go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, we're going to look at a story there in just a few moments. While you're turning there, I'd like to say welcome to all of you. We do have several visitors with us. We're thankful that you are here. And I know it's already been said, but we hope to see a group of people who love God and want to worship Him to the best of our abilities, not just today on the Lord's Day, but every day that we are blessed with here. We are going to start a series on the parables of Jesus. You know, Jesus taught in so many different ways. He taught just by putting the facts out there. He taught by example. He taught by miracles. But to me, the parables are just one of the best ways that He taught. Probably because I am a visual learner. I love stories. They help me remember things. And I think that's what He was doing when He spoke in parables. He spoke these parables, the text tells us, so that they can understand. And He would use everyday examples, everyday stories. A lot of His parables and those stories He told were about farming or about being shepherds or anything like that, so that they, these people, can grasp onto the concept that He was trying to teach them. And as we'll see today, He taught a lot of heavenly principles. In fact, that's kind of what parables have been termed, is that they're earthly stories with heavenly principles. But there's this phrase that's used over and over again in many of His parables, the kingdom of heaven is like. You notice in what Daniel read to us this morning, just a few moments ago, that's how this parable started. The kingdom of heaven is like. He's trying to teach us these heavenly principles, what heaven will be like, how we ought to be living for the kingdom of heaven. There's so many great lessons and so many of His teachings, and we're just going to look at a few over the next couple weeks and hopefully give us some things to think about. In this passage in Matthew chapter 18, I want you to think about some things for just a moment, and I guess just the magnitude of what Jesus is trying to teach here. Have you ever been in line somewhere, maybe to get a cup of coffee in the morning on the way to work, and you roll up to the window, and they said, you know what, yours is already paid for, it's taken care of. I see those posts on Facebook all the time. To the guy who paid for my coffee, it's like, you really think he's looking at your posts on Facebook? Probably not, but okay. But it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Someone took the time to pay for my coffee. Or have you ever been sitting down at a meal? I know this has happened to Brooke and I, and we've been sitting at a meal, we come to pay that check, and they say, hey, it's already taken care of. And we're like, can we thank them? Do we pay it forward? Sometimes we do that, and then it's just like, you feel like this weight of gratitude, right? Take it a step further. What if you got in the mail today a letter saying that there was an anonymous donor that paid off your house? It's a little different than a meal, isn't it? Or, you know what? Your boss, they really appreciate all your hard work. You walk into work tomorrow morning, you know what we've just done? We have fully funded your retirement. You're done working. There's just certain things that they carry a little more weight, don't they? Now, Peter gets, this is one of those great verses where Jesus is teaching. He's teaching on forgiveness in Matthew chapter 18. And Peter gets this great idea. Hey, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times? And in Peter's mind, he's doing a great thing. Let's think of it this way. He's paying for someone's meal. He's doing a nice thing. Do I forgive somebody who's done something wrong up to seven times? The idea of seven in their culture was the idea of perfect and complete. And so this seven times of forgiving someone, that's more than I should have to. So up to seven times, and Jesus says, no, I'm telling you up to 70 times seven. In other words, you just keep forgiving as many times as it takes to forgive that brother. And then he tells this story. And this parable where he says in Matthew 18 and verse 22, or in verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like. He says there's a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He had people that owed him some money. And when he began to settle those accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had and the payment be made. But the servant fell down at his feet, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him of the debt. Now we read that, and we hear that term, 10,000 talents, and that has no meaning to us today at all. Because we don't use that in our currency today, but talents was money to them. And I want to just to have a understanding of how intense this situation was. As this king is settling his accounts, and this man owes 10,000 talents. And he falls at the feet of the master and he says, "Master, just have patience with me. I'm going to get you your money." We're going to have to do some math here, but I want you to follow along with me when you think about this parable here. You've heard, probably in reading through some scriptures, the idea of a denarius. One denarius was 1 day's of work. So if you were to go work in the fields for a day for a master, and you were doing it for pay, you would get a denarius at the end of that day. That was your day of work. Now, 600 denarii equals just one talent. That's how that currency was exchanged. So 600 days of work for just one talent. The guy owed 10,000 talents to this king. That was 6 million denarii. That would take, if you do the math, 16,438 years of work to pay his debt off. And yet he has the audacity to tell the king, "Just be patient with me, I'm going to pay it back." Jesus was using this extraordinary circumstance in this parable to say, we all know there is no way this man was able to pay back what he owed. And so as he's begging, because the king said, "Sell him, sell his wife, sell his children, sell everything he has, I'll at least recoup a little bit of my money." He was moved with compassion at this man. He said, "You know what? Forgive him the debt. Just wipe it clean." Now, the rest of the story. After this man was forgiven of this great payment, it says in verse 28, "But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came to their master and said all that he had done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?'" So after this man was forgiven of all this debt, these 10,000 talents, he goes and he finds someone who owes him money. Now you would think, you hear these stories all the time, you know, the Starbucks line, who someone pays for their coffee, and the person, you pay for the one behind you, and then they pay for the one behind them. It's like a line. It should be a chain reaction. He's just been forgiven of all this work, all this talent, of the 10,000 talents, and it says he goes and he finds someone who owes him 100 denarii. Think about this. Do the math very quickly. One denarius is a day of work. So 100, you're looking at about 3.5 months, right? About 3.5 months worth of work. This man was just forgiven of over 16,000 years of debt. And he had someone owe 3.5 months of wages, and he went to him. He says, he took him by the throat, and he says, "Give me everything that you owe me." Did you notice the parallel? The man says, "Be patient with me, I'll give you everything I owe you." It's exactly what he said. But instead of being moved with the same compassion that his master had, it says he threw him into prison until he could pay his debt. How are you supposed to pay a debt when you can't work and you're sitting in prison? This story, as Jesus started out, the kingdom of heaven is like. You and I, as we looked at last week and some things we talked about atonement, propitiation, and taking care of the wrath of God was satisfied. You and I have a debt that we will never be able to repay. The book of Romans tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of those sin is death." There is sin. There is a wage to be paid that sin, and you and I will never be able to repay it. And we looked at that last week, that it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that that sin can be wiped clean. In other words, what we do when we come to Jesus is we are coming like that servant who owes that 16,000 years worth of work, and we are saying, I will never be able to repay this on my own. Have mercy on me, Jesus. And Jesus says, I've already taken care of it for you. You are forgiven. And at the heart of this parable, what Jesus is really trying to get across is the concept of what compassion really is. Because he said it was that master who looked down at that servant begging for just a little more time to repay. He says, you know what? You'll never be able to repay it. What compassion looks like is realizing someone in their lowly moments and saying, we're going to take care of this. And so the idea of compassion, as it's defined, is feeling sympathy and concerns for the sufferings and misfortunes of others. Seeing someone in those moments, like that master looking down at the servant and saying, we're going to do something about this. And that, to me, is what Jesus is trying to get across, is the biblical definition of compassion, that is, acting on those feelings. Acting on what you feel when you see someone struggling, when you see someone hurting, when you see someone who is in debt in this scenario, and saying, we can do something about this. We can fix this. And he's comparing and contrasting this one man who has just shown all this compassion, but yet can't go to someone who owes him just a few months of work and showing the same compassion. Most of the time, we think acting on people who are in these lowly moments is we got to set them straight. Teaching them that they should know better. Teaching them that I know what you need to do and you need to do what I tell you you should do. But what's being compared here is the forgiveness and compassion we've all been shown by God, and sometimes the lack of forgiveness and compassion that we want to show others, or we should show others. Because Peter thought he was doing what he was supposed to. Should I forgive 7 times? And Jesus says, let me show you what God has done for you and the kind of compassion that God has for his people. And then you go and show that same compassion. But the sad reality is we don't always do that. I believe Peter was trying to find some sort of justification in the limits we place on how much we do for people and how much love and compassion we show on people. He thought 7 was a good number. Anything after that, well, you're on your own, buddy. And what Jesus was demonstrating in the kingdom of heaven is like, God has no limits on compassion. When he sees one of his children in need and one of his children who need him, there's love and there's forgiveness there. But I sometimes wonder if I'm any different than Peter. We want to do just enough to make sure we are fulfilling our Christian duty. But inwardly, and sometimes even outwardly, we put limits on the amount of forgiveness or even what can be forgiven. Or we look at someone and we limit God's goodness and compassion towards that person, because does God know the kind of person? I want to suggest just a few things that, as I read this passage, that I need to remind myself of. And hopefully you can learn something from it as well. And that is, I believe, at the heart of this passage is really compassion and acting on those feelings of compassion to show somebody the love and the mercy and the grace of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The first thing that we have to do is we have to focus on our own debt. Now, what I mean by that is not the debt you might have in your bank account, but the debt that we have and the sin that we've committed against God. If we truly believe what Paul was telling the Romans, that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of those sin is death, that means that all of us have a debt to pay. All of us have shortcomings. All of us have things that, if we're being very honest with ourselves and we look at what it is we're struggling with and going through, we all have something that we should be and can be working on in our lives. We have all sinned. But we have all also been redeemed and forgiven of that debt. And sometimes I think we forget that. Sometimes I think we go through life forgetting that you and I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you why I think we forget that? Because for some reason, we always find ourselves going back to the sin that put us in debt in the first place. That we were in debt because of our sin, and Jesus comes and he pays the price with his blood, and then for some reason we always turn back to the sin after our debt's been paid. And this has been talked about for centuries. Like a dog returning to its vomit, the biblical writer says. We just continue to go back into the same scheme of putting ourselves back in debt. And sometimes I think we forget that our debt has been forgiven. Because if we truly understood what it took to forgive that debt and what Jesus went through and what it means for all of us to be forgiven of our sins, I don't know if we'd want to go back into debt. Or what we do is we focus on other people's debt. One writer said, when we focus on the anvil of the debt of others, we forget about the mountain of debt we're currently standing on. And what he means by that is to sometimes take focus off what it is we have in our lives that we should be working on. We focus on other people almost as a justification, like Peter, I believe, was trying to do there. To justify, is this good enough? Well, compared to them, guess what? Yeah, it is. Jesus would even discuss this in the Sermon on the Mount where he says we should be worried about the plank in our own eye before we worry about the speck in somebody else's eye. And unfortunately, and I'm grouping myself into this as well, unfortunately, Christians have gained a reputation of focusing on the faults of others rather than focusing on ourselves and how we can be better. We elevate our churches when we are doing things better than others. We elevate ourselves, our families, all of it. When we feel like we're living God's standard better than others, we then look down on others who feel like they can't measure up. One author said, we can only look down on others because we are standing so high on our own pile of shortcomings. And I think what we need to understand and remember is that you and I have a pile of debt that cannot be paid off. But thanks be to Jesus Christ who has given us an opportunity to be forgiven of that debt. And I can guarantee you that if we wake up tomorrow morning and the first thing that goes into our mind is, I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been forgiven. Focus on me for just a second. You will go live a different life. You will live a life that is worthy of the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus, as Paul puts it in the book of Philippians. Because when we can focus for just a moment on what it is our Master has done for us, it's like what he says there. Our Master was moved with compassion, and he's released us and he forgave us the debt. What an amazing feeling that is to live a life knowing that our debt has been forgiven. Now, I want you to imagine something very quickly. Now, the story that Jesus told was the man that was forgiven of so much, once his debt was forgiven, he goes and he finds someone who owes him just a little bit, grabs him by the throat, bullies him into paying. You can't pay, go to jail. How different. Picture this for just a moment. Now, I know this is not the story Jesus told, but in my mind, I just think, how different could it have been if that man who was forgiven of so many years of service went to that man and said, you know what, today your debt's forgiven. Can you imagine what that relationship would have been like? Can you imagine the love and the camaraderie that would have been there? if the man just went to him and said, you know what, something crazy happened to me today. I had 16,000 years worth of work forgiven. I'm forgiving you of yours. It's 3 months. It's nothing compared to what I had to be forgiven for. Can you imagine the gratitude and the love and the camaraderie that could have happened in those moments? And instead, it says, because of the man's greed, because he went and had to throw this man in prison, that the one that was forgiven of the 16,000 years, he eventually was thrown in prison because of how he treated the other. Can you imagine for just a moment how different relationships would be if when we see someone who maybe hasn't quite understood being forgiven of the size of debt that they have compared to what God, or in the eyes of God, instead of the mindset of setting straight, instead of the mindset of act more like me, instead of all these mindsets that we have had over and over and over again, how different would it be if you could go to them and say, you know what, I know what you're going through. You've got some things in your life you're going through. You've got some hardships. You've got some difficulties. Can I tell you to forgive me? Can I tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you what His mercy looks like and feels like? Can I tell you what grace looks like? Can I tell you about His love? Can I tell you the kind of life that you can have because Jesus has paid your debt? And then take it further. Can I tell you that there is no debt too big that Jesus won't forgive? Can I tell you about this Jesus, and can I tell you about what He's done for me? Do you see how different things could be if we just look at someone and look at their heart and not have to put a limit like Peter was trying to do up to 7 times? But no, you forgive. And we teach. Teach others who can pay their debt. I think some of the greatest conversations I've had with people in my life and the mentors that I've had in my life have been because they've sat me down and they said, I've been where you are. Let me tell you how to get to the next step. Let me tell you how to push forward. Let me tell you how to get over this process and move on. Let me show you. I look at this parable that Jesus told and I think of how different it could have been. Both of those men could have enjoyed together. If this is like the kingdom of heaven, they could have enjoyed relationships with their master together. But instead, that couldn't happen. The kingdom of heaven like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Our king is going to settle accounts one day. He will look at the books, so to speak, and he will see what debts are owed. And accounts will be settled. And he will see what accounts have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he will see what accounts want to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, but can't show the same compassion and love that they were shown, and might still be in debt. He will see the accounts, and he will settle the accounts. That's not up to you and I to worry about. You and I worry about what Jesus was talking about here. Taking care of the debt, knowing that Jesus is the only one that can take care of the poor. And teaching others who can do it for them as well. Showing the same compassion, showing the same love and forgiveness that I expect to see from Jesus. And we'll let God take care of the rest. There might be some people here this morning who have some debt in their account. That is their sin. What if God today, in this very moment, were to come settle accounts? Are you ready to pay? We looked last week. There's nothing we can do to repay that debt. But what we can do is we can put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus has paid the debt. He's our atonement. He's our sacrifice. So that you and I can have a clean slate. And there might be some people here this morning that need to have their slate wiped clean. Maybe you have years of work to pay off that debt, figuratively speaking. But Jesus, if you come to Him today, and you give Him your all today, and confess that He is the Son of God and be buried in the waters of baptism, He will say, your debt's forgiven. For those of us who have had that debt forgiven, a couple things. Let's go live a redeemed life. Go live today and tomorrow and every day like our debt's been forgiven. Teach others how to come and have their debt forgiven. But if we find ourselves going back, don't forget, your Savior's here. Your family's here. We'll do whatever we can to help. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward.